Yeah, that's going to be great in a couple weeks. Trust me. And I think today is going to be great too. It's going to be a bit different. We've been in the midst of a series looking on prayer, and some of the teaching has been great. Specifically, the teaching that I've done has been great. Great. But we thought, you know, we were like 3 weeks in this prayer series, the last one. Here's a wild idea. What if we actually pray? Wow. What if instead of talking about prayer, we actually pray? So that's what we're going to do the rest of our time. We have a bunch of things to do to stimulate. It's part of the reason why many of our prayer lives is non-existent or it's very stale is because we're not sure how to pray and we don't use all the tools at our disposal. So today we're going to use a multi-sensory approach, which is really good to keep your focus when you pray. So one of the things that we gave you was one of these prayer books. You can all take that out. We're going to use this today. If you're with us online, you're not in any of our rooms right now, then just find any piece of paper around you at all, and you can use this. We're going to go through a model for prayer that I've used for a long time. It's not the only model for prayer that I use, but it's one that I've used for a while, and it's been around for a while. I didn't invent this. It's a four-step process for knowing how to pray, P-R-A-Y. P is for praise, R is for repent, A is for ask, and Y is for yield, hearing from God and doing what he says. Now, these four steps are pretty related to one of the most iconic symbols for connecting with God in the Bible, which was the Old Testament temple. The Old Testament temple was a sign of the character of God and a sign of the way things operate in the heavenlies. I'm going to go through the book of Hebrews today. The book of Hebrews, or as we pray through these various portions, was created so that the ancient Hebrew people could see how the practices in the Old Testament are fulfilled in modern times. That's what the point of Hebrews was. And it says this about the temple. It says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, they serve at a sanctuary, that's the temple, they, the priests, that is a copy and a shadow of what is heaven, what is in heaven. So the temple, this ancient millennia old structure that was destroyed for the last time in 70 AD, it serves to mirror things that are in heaven. So let me walk you, just give you a basic overview of where we're going to go. This is the temple. What you would do is you would leave behind all of your old world and you would come up in the temple. This is the outer court. These are the steps coming in. Actually, let's come back here. Let's do this right. You would leave behind your outer world and you would walk up the steps and you would come into the outer court. We're going to be at the steps in the outer court. And then you would come in to where there was the sacrifices. In this outer court, there was praise. You were saying, I'm going to leave behind what was behind me. And then you would come up into here where there were sacrifices we'll talk about, which is the part of repentance. And then you would come into the more inner courts and you would be asking God, asking him for things. And then you would come up to a veil, and this veil was separating where you were here from where the high priest was. And there was a level of mystery in here as the high priest was interceding for people and trying to hear from God. And this is where we yield. We yield. We praise, we repent, we ask, and we yield. We're going to do these four things today as a church, and if you're not part of our church, you're here today, just as a group. And these are things that you can do in the future. Now, let's start with our little prayer book here right now. First thing I want to do when I want to pray is I recognize I'm distracted. I'm thinking of things I've got to do. Things pop into my brain. And so what I want to do is I just want to try to get out of my mind the things that might distract me. Like, oh, remember, call Jill. Don't forget to pick up bread when I leave church. You know, whatever it is. So let's use your thing just to do a brain dump. Whatever's on there, whatever you're thinking, just put it down, get it out so you can focus. So God, as we dump these things right now at your feet, as we dump them at your feet, would you take these things and just take care of them? Just help us get this out, God. Go ahead, write it down, get it out. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him. Cast these anxieties on him because he cares for you. Okay, now what we're doing, God, and as I pray right now, you're going to tell maybe when I'm praying and when I'm talking. When I'm talking to God, when I'm communicating to God, it's not a regimented list. I'm conversing with him. So you might not be able to tell what it is, but God is present and he is here. And so God, right now, as we've written these things down, what we've tried to do, guys, we want to leave these things behind for the next hour or so, however much time we have left. We want to leave them behind. Those are behind us with our normal life. And so, God, we are now walking, we are ascending the holy hill. We want to walk up the steps to have prayer with you. God, I pray that you would open that gigantic door to help us enter into your presence. God, we don't want the normal stuff right now. We want you. And we're intentionally turning our back on everything that's on those sheets of paper and everything else in our life that we're not going to pray about right now. We're here today, God, to say we want to be different and we recognize that you're different. We're here to actually praise you. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And God, we start by giving you sacrifice of praise and telling you thank you and that we are grateful you're worthy. Let's stand right now. Let's just stand and tell him that right now in prayer and to us all.
No way.
There was no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. And even though I don't deserve it, you did it. And even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. For you.
those words with a full heart, knowing that God's been with you every moment, every step of the way, then put your body where your heart is. Both hands in the air, sing at the top of your lungs. Say, I'm lifting both of my hands, 'cause you gave me chance after chance, after chance. And I'm giving all that I am, 'cause you gave me chance after chance, after chance. And I'm lifting both of my hands, 'cause you gave me chance after chance, after chance. Oh, I'm giving all that I am, 'cause you gave me chance after chance, after chance. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. And God, I'm just grateful for you. And all my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. And God, I'm just grateful for you.
God, I think about survival. That song says, I've survived. So many of us, God, we could say, man, I can't believe I'm here. I survived. Survived spiritually, survived emotionally, or survived physically. I should be dead. I should be dead, and I have you to praise that I'm not dead. Those branches should have broken when I was building tree forts 30 feet up in the air as a little kid on branches as thick as my dad's thumb. Should have collapsed, I should be dead. Should have been dead when I crawled under a school bus that was idling. I got off to get a can to crush, and that tire skimmed my hand just as I left. Should have been dead, but I survived. Should have been dead when I went 70 miles an hour on a rented motorcycle with no helmet and flying 60 feet on pavement in air, but I'm here. Could have been dead just a couple years ago in a stupid hunting accident when a bullet hit a tree 5 feet above my head. I am here, and I am here because of you, God. I'm here because of you. And I may be gone tomorrow, that's fine. I have no sense of entitlement that I should have a long life. I have no sense of entitlement of exactly what should take place in my life. I just know I'm here. And I know I'm echoing prayers in here for others to say, I'm here because of you. We praise you, God. You're higher than we are. You're greater than we are. You're of a different category than we are. You are exalted, we are low. You are holy, we are unholy. You are pure, we are impure. You are masterful and long-term, and we are stupid and short-term relative to you. You are loving and kind, and we are mean and gossipers. You think about things that we can't think about. You empower people the way we can't empower them because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own all resources, all of them, because they are of you. And you have a way of seeing things and empowering people that none of us have because you are God, the holy, most upright one. And who are you to think of us? I can't believe, God, you think of us in a way that I don't think of ants. I don't think of them at all. They're way beneath me. An ant is closer to me than I am to you. And yet, you think of us. Go ahead and have a seat. Let's have some more prayer right now. Here's how you're gonna pray. Open up your phone. take your phone out, go to your photos. And your photos are going to serve to remind you of ways that God has been good to you. Things that you are grateful for. Things that you're thankful for. Just open up those photos. You know, I see, see a 1952 Dodge Power Wagon here that I'm restoring. God, thanks for giving me the resources to buy an old truck that I don't even need. Thank you. I see elk. God, thank you. You've enabled me to take down 2 elk this year. And you know, there's my great friends. God, thank you for richly blessing me with Log Kirky 512. Thank you. Always gets me. My 3 kids, 7 grandkids made me rich. So rich. Go through your pictures. Use them as a source of gratitude to God, how he's blessed you. And you're going to write it down? Great. If not, just use it. Thank you, God. I praise you. Thank you for being good to me. Murmur it to God, think it to God, write it down. Just tell him he never grows tired of his children complimenting him. We don't do compliments in our culture. And therefore, many of us don't compliment God. Just give it to him. You want your kids to compliment you? I'd like it every once in a while. Give it to your Heavenly Father. Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, pray then like this, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, you are hallowed, which means holy. You are distinct. You are different. You're in a class all your own. We would never be as kind or as good or as generous to lesser things the way you are to us. Who are we? Who are we that you think of us? Man, we want to be more like you. And we praise you for who you are. It's astounding. Now, as we talk with God and as we praise him, it's really hard, God, for us to look at you without simultaneously seeing ourselves. And when we're looking at you, I feel that much worse about myself. The less I believe about you, the higher I'm going to think about myself. Maybe the reason, God, we're so defiant in our culture and we're so unapologetic is because we just don't know you and we're just too high on ourselves. But as I see you and your standard, I come woefully short. I am sickened. I'm sickened, actually, by the things that I do, the things I am, the thoughts that I have, the way I judge others, hang-ups that I have that I'm still hung up on. I'm not going to confess all of those in front of thousands of people, but I have and I will privately and I will to my closest friends. But God, I recognize these things are just heinous and horrible, and I want to repent. I want to turn from the ways that I'm not like you. Turn from the things that disgust you. As they would come into the temple and they would start their praise, and then they would go in and they would have the place where the sacrifice was. The sacrifice was given as they would bring a baby calf, say, or a lamb, or if you were in poverty and you couldn't afford that to sacrifice, you could bring a turtle dove or a little dove pigeon to bring. And the priests, who were men, would sacrifice these. One of the theories for why these priests were men and why God didn't want women, it's just a theory, is that this was a very physical job. This is like manual labor. Just manual labor. Because all day long, these guys would be taking these lambs and these calves and lifting them up and putting them down on an altar all day long, and it required muscle mass that the average woman didn't have to do that all day long. When we think about sacrificial system, we get kind of grossed out because many of us have never seen blood unless we accidentally cut ourselves. So the thought of bloody sacrifice freaks you and I out because we've never seen an animal die, most of us, before. We've never, most of us have, even though we eat chicken, we've never actually killed a chicken. This is very rare. It's only really within the last 60 years in America that this has been affordable. In the ancient world, the blood wouldn't freak them out because they saw blood all the time. What freaked them out was that they knew the spiritual significance of what was taking place. They would bring their animal to the priest. The priest would put it on top of the altar, and both of them would put their hands on top of the animal, and the priest would take a knife and slit the animal's throat. And blood would go all over the place, and there would be a bleeding and a death was happening. And this person who had their hands on the animal wasn't freaked out by the blood. They were freaked out at the spiritual weightiness of this because they knew what was happening was this. God, who am I? I should be dead. I should be the one. Because something that's less than me does something that dishonors me, I squash it, whether it's a bug or another person with my gossip. And God, who am I that you are passing over my stuff and reminding me from the death that should be me? When you and I come to God, when we come to a place of who you are, we come to a place of who we are, and it's disgusting. God, we're sorry for lowering your standards so that we can barely meet them. God, we're sorry for being more interested in unholiness than we are in holiness. God, we're sorry for just not being willing to have your fire refine us, to have you do something different in us. Let's take our books out right now. And let's just write down the things you need to repent of. The things you're going to confess before God. He knows what these things are. But you know, when you say that to somebody you care about, you go, thank you, that means a lot to me. It would mean a lot to God for you to tell him what he already knows. And that is, whatever. Write it down. We're going to do something with that. Write it down. And now if you're afraid someone's going to look over your shoulder or beside you, I understand. You don't want them to see that. Just, you can use a code word if you want. He knows what you're talking about. Let's just list our sin that needs to be burned. List our sin that's separating us from having the relationship with God we want. Just write it down.
Lord, is my life. I want to
takes place in the temple. Again, that verse we read earlier says the temple is a mirror of things that are in heaven. It's setting the people of God up for understanding the future. And if you've received Christ, you're a person of God. You're a part of the people of God. Hebrews 10:12 says this, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. The priests, as they were offering, they kept offering and offering. There was no end offering. Just bring more, bring more, bring more, bring more. Jesus is the perfect lamb. And when he goes to the cross, it's in essence the altar. And it's a public spectacle where he spreads out his arms. Instead of a knife to the throat, nails go to the wrists. And the right wrist. And a single nail through both feet. It was a shameful act where he was cursed publicly. And this happened because he was our representative, as was the ancient offerings were the people's representative. The difference was, it was a one-time thing, one time only. One time he did it, and then he sat down, because as a high priest, he'd have to keep offering sacrifices because there's only one. And he gave it for you and for I, for anybody who would receive him. Now I'm going to pray some prayers of repentance, and I'll just say this. Some of you aren't going to like these prayers. Some of you aren't going to agree with these prayers. That's okay. You don't have to agree with them. Say your own. But I'm going to represent us, and I'm going to say things and pray things I want to with repentance, and then you can do the same, or you can participate with me. So God, I am disgusted at my low standards. I keep trying to dumb down my standards, and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I'm afraid to be like you. And I'm looking for every reason to be the person I want to be, instead of be the person that you want me to be. And God, I'm sorry. We're sorry that our church is not better at this either. We're sorry, God, that we're in our church, we want to fit in. We want to be one of the cool kids. And we've got all the isms here in our church, all of them, all the isms that some of us are repentant of. Materialism, hedonism, racism, isolationism, judgmentalism. God, we should be better. We should be better than we are. God, we confess, man, those of us in the right are more into being in the right than we are being into the kingdom of God. Those on the left are more into our ideology than we are being in the kingdom of God. God, those of us in the right, we have our news feeds, we have our things we believe, and if we don't hear what we want to hear, we get upset. Wow, what about hearing from God? Those on the left, we're on the left, we're getting our own news feeds, and if we don't hear what we want to hear, oh man, we are not happy about that at all. God, we confess we are more into our politics than we are the kingdom of God. We're sorry. It's disgusting. We confess that we are broken about our brokenness. And we confess, God, that we're broken about the state of our country. Horrible, God. This is a basic incident, man, that we can't even agree on because we're so divided, because it doesn't agree with our political view. We confess our hard heart that we're not broken, that a man could be shot in the back while he lies down by somebody whose salary paid through our taxes. Shoot, God, I learned watching Lone Ranger when I was a little kid, don't shoot somebody in the back. That's if they're standing up. Freaking lying down on the ground and getting shot in the back with a phone in our hand. And God, sorry, we're not disgusted by this. We're more interested in defending our worldview and political view and our immigration status or beliefs than just noticing it's a horrible betrayal. And God, we confess that we don't react well when something happens that we don't like, whether it's a church staff member who gets fired. If we like that staff member, we're more into maybe that than we're into the truth of the unholiness behind it. God, we're asking we become a better and different church. We're asking that we would all be raving lunatics of love while at the same time being broken by our sin. We know that we get that from you. You've modeled that. You've loved us, and you've been broken by our sin because you've been broken. Man, you're good. Jesus has sat down because all things we wrote, they're over. So whatever your things were, here's what we're going to do. Just rip out that piece of paper, or if you want to make another one, just rip out that piece of paper. Like these things, just crumple them up. They're over. Done. They're done. Means nothing to God. You thought the people who were in the service before you were really sloppy? No, because what we're going to do now is we're going to throw them in the aisle and we're going to walk on them because they're nothing. They're beneath us. Means nothing. So just throw it in the aisle. If you're in the middle and you can't reach it and someone's sin hits you in the face, just put it in the aisle for them. Because it's nothing. Get it away from you. Here's the great news. God doesn't identify you with your sin. He identifies you with who Jesus is. And we're going to walk all over it as we walk out of here and around here today. That's how good he is. That he has the standards that he has and still is loving us and has still sat down and said, oh, I'm done with it. Stunning. That's our God. Why don't we want to talk with him more often? I don't know. Now we've gotten ourselves, God, in a place to ask. We've left the things behind us. We've rightly put you in the place in our minds, which is where you are, hallowed and holy and powerful and pure. We've done a little cleanse of our life, and we've said to you, God, here's the things I think are standing in the way of my relationship with you. We've done those things. And now we're ready to ask. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So we go to God with confidence now. Like, I'm not like this meager little, woe is me, I'm not worthy. No, like, Jesus has died for me. He's good with me. And I go before him in confidence. I go deeper in prayer to where I actually ask. There's a barrier between many of us and God, or we perceive there this barrier. There is no barrier. God can hear from you at any time in any place, any type of prayer that you want. When Jesus dies on a cross, being the ultimate sacrifice that sets us right before God, there's a significant thing that happens the moment he dies. It details it in the New Testament. When he dies, there is a curtain that's 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and about the width of a hand thick, a big, thick, massive thing that would separate the normal people from the Holy of Holies, where there was the Ark of the Covenant that contained things like Moses' staff and the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. And this was the place where the high holy priest would go. And there was a mystery of what was going on there, because there was this curtain that was separate. No one could go in there. And some of us might have kept our prayer life back as we feel like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what goes on in there. I don't know. Here's the thing. God breaks down that barrier that's between us. When Jesus dies, God reaches down and he grabs the top of that curtain.
He has power to heal, power to save, power that arises when we start to pray.
has power to heal, power to save, and he has power to say yes to your requests. Take out your prayer journal again if you like. And now we're just going to ask. We're going to ask God what you want him to do for you. Because you're more qualified to ask now than ever before. Because you've set your heart right before God, exalting him. You've cleared out the garbage and junk. And the things that you still want to happen right now, you're probably more likely to be praying in alignment with the will of God, which will cause him to have more yeses than had you not done what we just did. Bible says you have not because you ask not. It's a good news to know that there are things that you could have and you don't have just because you haven't asked. So write them down right now. What do you want? Write them down. I'll pray and you can write. God, I am praying for those of us. The ends never meet at the end of the month. They never do. I don't know, for some of us, is it an income problem? Is it a wisdom problem? But I don't know, but I'm praying that you would make a way, that you would bring resources where there aren't resources, you bring wisdom where there isn't wisdom. Some of us, God, are unbelievably lonely. We identify with the isolationism sin, but it's not by our own choosing. We don't like it. We don't want to be isolated. We're not sure how to make a friend or find a friend. God, bring a friend. Bring one. Some of us would like to be married. We're frustrated. We can't find the right person. God, would you at least give us a date? Give us a date. Cause the wart to fall off the end of our nose so we're attractive to that person. Yeah. In case you're wondering, God finds me funny. In case you wonder about that. We talk this stuff. God, I ask for a talk with folks in here. Man, they want a child or they want another child and things just aren't working. I pray that the uterus, the wall lining would hold what it needs to. I pray that the sperm would be strong swimmers. I pray that you would create life for a couple that wants to honor you because you say to be fruitful and multiply. And for those couples that want that, I ask that you would make that come to pass. Just, if you're here with someone you're married to and that's, you both identify that, just put your hand on right now. Put your hand on. Do your thing, God. Do your thing. God, we pray for our church that in the midst of all of our differences here, that we would be a place where Republicans are happy to worship with Democrats and lefties are happy to worship with righties. That the world would look at us and go, how do those people have some different convictions about immigration? How do those people have some different convictions on the budget or whatever? And yet they still are one. Yet they still love one another. Yeah, God, we want to be a peculiar people. That's what we want. We want to be a different people. We are different than the average person in our culture. We choose to not be, God, we're asking that we're not defined by our politics, but we're defined by our identity as a child of God. That would be our strong suit. God, I pray for the medical diagnoses that we've reached the end of a road. And there's nothing else other than you to be the great physician. I thank you, God, that you have been doing legitimate physical healings in our midst, and we want more. We want more. God, I pray for the... We ask for help with the mental illness that ravages our culture and ravages many of us in our church. If you bring healing to the physical eyes, you can bring healing to the synaptic connections in our brain. We ask for it, God. Maybe because you haven't asked. I pray to you, Savior and Redeemer,
I pray to the Father, protector and provider, the only one who hasn't failed yet. Oh, the only one who hasn't failed me yet. He has power to heal and power to save, power that rises when we start to pray. That's who my God is, and I believe He has power to move and power to change, bringing the beauty from all of the pain. That's who my God is, that's who my God is. He has all authority.
Okay, now we're going to yield. God's heard a lot from us. And now we're going to see if we hear something from God. When God tore this curtain from the top all the way to the bottom, it opened up the Holy of Holies, where there was mystery of what the high priest was doing in there, because there was something apparently that was special between the high priest and God. And at that time in redemptive history, that was sealed and separated. Well, now the curtain is torn. God was saying, no, it's not. Anybody can talk to me at any time. Anybody can hear from me at any time. How do we hear from God? Well, we maybe have a thought that crosses our mind. We go, where did that come from? Because that's not something I would normally think of. And Jesus probably likes that thought. Well, just assume that was God. Maybe it is a literal thing that you hear. Maybe it's just a strong urge that's unusual. We have to learn and can learn to discern what is just our own emotions and our own enzymes and what's actually the Spirit of God. Hebrews 7:25, talking about how the temple can relate today, says, therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Meaning, as Jesus sat down with God, He's talking about you to Him. Hey, you know, John, take care of John. I'm telling you, he's with me. I know he's got some. Take care of him. Jill, have Jill do X, Y, Z. You're being prayed for by Jesus. That's how vast His mind is. And so when we yield, we're just being silent before God. It's like we're asking God to let us overhear Him, overhear what He's praying for, and see if He says anything. Jesus says this is an act of the Holy Spirit, and He likens the Holy Spirit to wind that's very unpredictable. So let's spend a moment just being silent and see if God actually says something to you, if the Spirit of God moves in your life. Spirit, come. Speak as we want to yield. now something's coming to you that, like, you say, that's interesting, I thought of that. I don't think God at least would oppose that. Well, then just assume that God spoke to you, and now you get to yield to it. Actually, make a note of it. Write it down. Like, So therefore, as you yield, you're saying, God, I'm not just going to be a person of conversation. I'm going to be a person of action. I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to do this thing. Going to forgive that person. Going to pray for my enemy. Going to bless that person in some way, shape, or form. Going to start this thing, going to stop that, whatever it is. Just here, go ahead and write that down. We have in front of the stages and all of our sites mock wailing walls, a cheap representation of the wailing wall, which if you've ever been to Jerusalem, which I've been many times, you can go, and the temple was obliterated. The temple hasn't been around since 70 AD. The temple has been destroyed and rebuilt a number of times. The last time it was around and destroyed was about 70 AD. Right now, the mosque stands there, is there right now. The Dome of the Rock is there. But what you can do is you can see the stones that were the former retaining walls for the foundation of the temple. Those retaining wall stones are still there today. Actually, as I speak right now, there are Jews who are taking prayers and they are sticking them in the corner of the wailing wall, in the slices in the rocks, or visitors who are Christians who are there right now as well, sticking prayers into those rocks. Now, they do that because it's a good thing for them to do. They want to enjoy doing that. It's a meaningful thing, but it goes in the rocks and it stays there. All of our sites, we have mini wailing walls where we're going to be able to bring and put our prayers into the retaining walls of the temple. And unlike the wailing wall, if you want, this week we have a growing list of people who are on our prayer team. All of those things are going to be prayed for by a person who is a prayer guru and loves to pray. All of them at all of our sites. So you could take the page out of here that was all of your asks. You could just write one more thing on here if you want. You can do nothing, whatever you want. But we're going to connect with God. We're going to do a song, and you're going to become able to come forward as a sacred moment that says, God, I need your power, power beyond what I understand. And I need prayer, and I want you to do something. So God, we choose to trust in you right now. We're going to write these things down. And we want to trust that you're going to do something that we can't do. And we're going to ask that you say yes. As we declare, whether you say yes or no, I choose to trust in you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. Time after time, born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God, my Savior. Savior, the one
keep receiving your prayers. I'll just close with this. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, that's who he is, the God of peace, equip you with everything to do his will. God, thank you for the pleasure of talking with you. We want to do your will, and we're asking you to say yes to these prayers. Bless these people. Amen.